Draw closer to God with Vision Worship. Now streaming 24/7 with praise and worship you know and love.
I will tell of your wonders, sing of your grace. The God of creation knows me by name.
Wherever you are and whatever you're doing, Vision Worship provides non-stop praise and worship, lifting your heart and bringing focus to every hour of every day.
I've seen
Stream Vision Worship in the Vision app, online at visionworship.org.au, or tell your smart speaker to play Vision Worship to listen and draw closer to God.
A biblical perspective on life, culture, and current events. This is 2020 on Vision.
Well, get ready for an honest appraisal of evangelism in Australia, and sometimes it helps perspective to get the insights of someone who that we, some of us, might consider an outsider. Christian commentator David Robertson is back with us. He hails from Scotland and might have some insights into our Aussie methods and our culture that we sometimes have difficulty seeing clearly because this is too close to home for us. David Robertson, a special welcome back to 2020.
Yeah, it's nice to be back to you. I'm not particularly sure I have any great insights, but I'm just, I am an evangelist, I would say, and I'm very interested in evangelism, and I came to Australia to do evangelism, and I'm currently doing it in Newcastle, the wonderful city of Newcastle. So, yeah, I am interested.
And interesting, as you say, I am an evangelist, and for so many of us, we could very easily just put you in a box and say, you're just an evangelist. Well, no, not just an evangelist. And we might get on to that as we get our conversation underway. You've been thinking about evangelism in Australia, even getting a little frustrated over it. You've just attended the Nexus Conference in Sydney, run by the Anglican Church. What were your impressions?
Well, I am so impressed by Sydney Anglicans in lots of ways. It's quite remarkable to have an Anglican diocese, which is so biblical. I have to confess as well that, no, confess, it sounds like it was something wrong, but I worked for them for a couple of years in evangelism and new churches. There's so much good that's there. But I was at this conference, and the Nexus conference is very good. But I did find this one frustrating because we were talking about evangelism and, you know, there were some good ideas and so on. But I don't know, part of me just felt, we're not addressing the real issue here. The church is in decline, including Sydney Anglicans are in decline. You know, they've had some recent figures which weren't particularly great. And I was very concerned about that. And I really didn't feel that it was being addressed. Now, I was only there for half the conference. And some people told me afterwards that after I left, it got better. But I think that evangelism is a really hard thing to think about. How do we communicate the good news of Christ in what I would regard as moving towards at least a post-Christian society and where so many people are just fundamentally indifferent as well?
You know, there's going to be a lot of people who are listening to the conversation and they're saying, well, my church is thriving. There are good things happening. There are people coming forward at an altar call every week. There are significant growth trends that are happening in my local church. But that's not the same for all churches. There's going to be an equal or maybe even more who are listening to a conversation like this today and saying, I completely agree with you. Church is decreasing, declining. A lot of the statistics that we hear about churches just shows us that there's a trajectory that doesn't look great. We've got changing demographics, all sorts of challenges as Australians grow older. And where are the younger generations? We've talked about some of those things before, but this decline of churches, this is a real major problem for so many churches that have seen decreases over a number of years.
Yeah, so, I mean, two things here. One, I'll tell you a story from Scotland, and then I'll bring you something from the conference itself. Now, I actually have just written an article. It's a fairly lengthy article on the conference for any listeners who would go to the Weefly, and you can see it there, you know, weefly.com. But the story from Scotland is this. I remember there was a wandering evangelist, you know, kind of village evangelist, that I would read his reports, and it always struck me that he went to a village that I knew about, and he always reported 30 salvations or so, or around that number. Now, this was a very small village, and I wondered, do you know, the whole village must have been converted by now, because he went every year. And then I realized what was happening. What was happening was he managed to get into the local school, and he did a kids' club, and the kids really liked him, and he was good at what he did. And he would always ask, if you want to give your life to Jesus, put up your hand. Well, they liked him, so they just put up their hand, because they thought that's what they should do. And every year he was reporting that as 30 salvations. You know, it's probably the same kids as well. And, you know, I think we're too quick to count, and we're not very good at counting. That's one thing. And then from the conference itself, I think the thing that struck me was the number of large churches in Sydney Anglican circles has dropped from 21 to 10. 63% of Sydney Anglican churches have decreased. And even those that are not declining are growing primarily because of transfer growth. And remember, this is in a time when, past couple of decades, when the population of Sydney is growing and growing and growing. So the church has actually been declining. And I think the most disturbing statistic was that in 2001, it was reported that 12.4% of attendees in Sydney Anglican churches had become Christian in the previous 5 years. In other words, they were new converts. In 2021, that percentage had fallen to 5.4%. It's more than halved. And, you know, I think that churches, I mean, I'm in a church here, so this is where it's really relevant to me in so many ways. A very small church. I came here, there's about 20 people. We've got about 50 or 60 now, so that's, you know, an improvement anyway. But, you know, we need to reach out to people. We can grow by transfer growth, by people coming from other churches, and very often churches do. But that's not really extending the kingdom. I want the church to grow by people being converted. And I wonder how many churches are growing in that way. I once said this at a conference, that very few, and, you know, there was pushback. People disagreed with me. They said, oh, in my church we've seen this, in my church we've seen that, as you said. But then one senior pastor phoned me up and said, look, Dave, you're right. He said, my church has 500 plus, over 500 people, and we haven't seen any real conversions from the world in the past 5 years. So I accept it varies from church to church. I accept that you can't make a universal rule everything, but and I accept there are signs of wider interest in some areas, and there are growth in some areas. But overall, I think we're generally not very good at communicating the good news to a world that desperately needs it.
David, let me ask you about perhaps getting a little personal and your own views on evangelism. I know you came to Australia from Scotland, and you are an evangelist, and you had all sorts of aspirations of getting in the flow of things, and things haven't worked as clearly or as perfectly as you might have anticipated. If we're trying to understand the essence of evangelism, that, you know, takes it outside of you being a Scotsman, and there's lots of Aussies around here, and we've got our own perceptions, what do you understand as the essence of what evangelism is?
Oh, I think it's what Paul says in Colossians, that his aim is to present the mystery of Christ and to make everyone fully mature in Christ. So it is to make disciples. It's to communicate the good news. Now, the good news isn't a formula, and it isn't a program. We can do evangelism through programs, and a lot of churches do, but we need to be very wary of that as well, because the good news isn't the program. The good news isn't ticking the boxes. The good news isn't even joining the church where you'll get a nice community or whatever. The good news is Christ himself. And to me, evangelism is communicating Christ in such a way that people want him. That's how I would put it. And I think it's actually very hard to do, because we are under great pressure. Those of us who are in ministry are under great pressure to produce results. Churches, people like going to churches that they perceive as growing. The quickest way to grow a church is to take people who are already Christians or attract people who are already going to church. The hardest way to grow a church is through bringing in people who are not Christians or who've rarely, if ever, gone to church. And especially in a society. So if we go back 50 years, 60 years, maybe, the majority of people in Australia would have had some form of church connection, a Bible in the home. They would know some of the Bible stories. etc. You know, how lively that was and all the rest of it, I don't know. But when Billy Graham came, you know, he could get 50,000, you know, more than that, actually, into the MCG, 100,000 into the MCG, almost without too much bother. I think we would really be struggling to get anywhere near a tenth of that nowadays. So, and that's because people in general, there's a much bigger division between those who go to church and those who don't. And it's how we bridge that gap. So evangelism for me is just simply communicating Christ in such a way that people desire him.
Can we overcomplicate evangelism? Because, you know, as you say, Billy Graham, who was filling stadiums and simply making a proclamation of the gospel. And these days, we want our pastors to have PhDs and be apologists. What sort of proclamation is necessary? Do we complicate this too much? Are we overburdening ourselves and missing the main point?
That may be true, but the opposite may also be true. It may be that we're oversimplifying. And I think, ironically, sometimes what we do is we think we're presenting the gospel in a simple, uncomplicated way, and people haven't a clue what we're saying. And I think we do need to think about it more, and we need to think about who's involved. And by the way, I think Billy Graham was pretty astute and very, very good in how, well, the Billy Graham organization organized. But I mean, in a sense, yes, because we are just communicating Christ. But on the other hand, think of the Apostle Paul at the end of his life saying, I want to know Christ. And I think we are always learning and we're always... I mean, the simple way for me for evangelism is this. So I like football, you know, like soccer, proper football.
Yeah.
And
there might be a few argue with you on that, but yes, I know what you're saying. Yeah, yeah. The round ball.
Well, I have to be careful here because the Newcastle Knights are like a religion up here. And, you know, but if I go to a Jets game here, and my team play brilliantly and they win. And actually, since I've started supporting the Jets, they've won every game until last Sunday. So I was taking credit for that up until last Sunday. But if I see them play brilliantly, I want to come out of the stadium. I'm on a bus and I'm sitting beside somebody, I'll say, oh, the game was amazing. That was wonderful. If I go to a restaurant, I come out and say, wow, that was something else, or the concert or whatever. And what I want people who are coming to church, come out of church and go, oh, that was amazing. Christ is amazing. So much so that they are amazed. They want to tell people. So evangelism, another way of putting it, is to say that it's one hungry beggar telling other hungry beggars where to find bread. You know, we found bread. We found the feast. We found, you know. And so, yes, we can overcomplicate. And we can certainly, over-programize and all that kind of stuff. But I think we can also oversimplify. We can turn the gospel into a simplistic formula, which ultimately doesn't really meet where people are at.
There's a fairly common sentiment, and I think this is probably widespread across church denominations. You never let the evangelist be in charge of the church. You're an evangelist. You're in charge of a church. What's the evangelist's view of that? Because perhaps we've compartmentalized the evangelist, and we've said, well, the evangelist cannot be the leader.
Yeah. So what we've done is this was stated at the conference. It was one of the things that frustrated me, and I'll tell you why. I think it's a misunderstanding of what an evangelist is. When I used to go around churches in Sydney and talk about what people thought of people who were like evangelists or that way inclined, they kind of thought it was a good idea, but they didn't want to sit beside them in church. You know, you're just a bit weird. There was an implication that, you know, and also sometimes you did get weird people who announced they were evangelists and nobody ever wanted to stop them because surely they're just telling the gospel. Well, I think we need to be a bit careful. But here where I come from it is, look, a biblical perspective. It was Paul who stated that he would become all things to all people that he might win some. And it was Paul who wrote to Timothy, the pastor of the church in Ephesus, I think, in 1 Timothy 4:5, that he should do the work of an evangelist in order to fulfill his ministry. My view is that every minister should be, to some degree, an evangelist, in that we have a desire to communicate the good news, and we do communicate the good news. And we need to set an example to our own people. I think what people have this idea as well is if you're an evangelist, you're not very well organized and, you know, you might push things a bit, be a bit risky. Okay, that may be me, actually. But sometimes you need pastors to be like that as well. I think within a church, you should have a team of people. You should have elders, pastors, you know, a pastor, preacher. We have people with different gifts. We're a body. But I do think that that truism, never let evangelists be in charge of the church, it's not biblical.
Let me ask you about the blockages to the gospel, because oftentimes we're thinking of the blockages and how that relates to the person who would be the receiver of a message, whether they're materialistically minded or whether they're just ignorant. They're influenced by the pluralism in a society or hypocrisy. Sometimes we're looking outside and we're looking and maybe fearful of the blockages, maybe some introspection, looking inside to say, what do we change here that actually is going to help us be courageous and be people who are gospel-centered? What are your thoughts here?
Yeah, so the blockages, that's a really interesting one, because there are kind of general cultural blockages. For example, we could say like materialism. You know, I think if you live in a very wealthy suburb, it's sometimes much harder to get people really interested because, you know, they've got their yacht and they've got their two cars and they've got their holidays and so on. And I think there are cultural prejudices as well and so on. But there are also blockages that are specific to an area. And so, for example, here in Newcastle and Maitland, we had the horrific child abuse scandals in the Anglican Church and in the Catholic Church. And you're talking about hundreds of people, thousands of people being affected by that. Now, that has left a stain which acts as a blockage to many people. There are blockages that people have had because they've grown up in a religious home and found it, you know, very negative or whatever. There can be blockages that come from people being another religion. There can be blockages from the perception that, oh, well, real men don't become Christians, or if you're intelligent, you're not a Christian, or if you're a man, you don't become a Christian. That's just for women. You know, I mean, there are all these different kinds of cultural, I think Tim Keller called them defeater beliefs. And, you know, there are ways, I think we need to be aware of them, and there are ways to get around them. But ultimately, of course, the biggest blockage of all is that human beings are dead in sins and trespasses, and we need the Holy Spirit to come and work in someone's life. And what I would say is, as an evangelist, my greatest hope is this, and I know this, that God's word won't return to him empty. And if I can get God's word out, it will work, and it does work. But the question is, how do I get it out?
For listeners who are thinking, I can hear the things you're saying, and some will be applying those to their own church setting, what sort of solutions do you think we could take away from some of these thoughts that you're delivering today? You know, you've been obviously thinking deeply, and you've been immersed in this idea about evangelism in Australia. What do we take away from some of the things that you've been thinking through?
Well, let me ask three questions. So they're questions that I would ask, I ask myself, and I'd say to others to ask. I think number one, I want to say, is your church worth inviting people to? And I don't mean because of style. I don't mean because it's got a nice warm building or great coffee. I mean, will people meet Jesus in your church? That's number one. My second question would be, do I love the Lord? Do I want him to be glorified? Do I, you know, he came and, you know, he died on the cross for us, and there was a fruit that he was promised, and he's told us to, you know, communicate that gospel. So if I love the Lord, I want to communicate it. Number three, I would just simply say, do I love people? Because if I believe what Jesus said, he came to save people, and to save them from what? From their own sin, from other people's sin, and from hell. And you know, when people die, that is not the end. And I think we must have this desire to see that. And I think I would probably add another one. You know, do we want to see our society improve and be transformed? It will improve and be transformed when more people become believers, real believers. You know, their lives are totally turned upside down. We want the world turned upside down. So I guess I would ask, do I want to see the world turned upside down as well? So do I love the Lord? Do I love people? Do I love his word? You know, and do I want to see the world turned upside down? And then, okay, how? That's what I think. And I think you pray. I think you make sure the church. I mean, it's Jesus says, by this all men will know you're my disciples if you have love for one another. And I think we need to see that in the church. Sometimes the church is the greatest apologetic for the gospel. Sometimes it's also the greatest stumbling block for the gospel. And I think we need to repent and we need to say, Lord, may it be that when people come amongst us, they say, truly, God is amongst you.
Well, good insights today, David. And I'm going to point listeners to the article that you've written, and it's on your Weflee website. And, you know, regular listeners to this program know that, hey, we don't sugarcoat everything. It's not about rah, 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 aren't we good, look at us. But oftentimes we get these wonderful opportunities to have a heart-to-heart insight into where we think things are at so far as the church is in Australia. And that's a very broad thing to say, the church in Australia. So there's going to be lots of different experiences. But the article that you're making reference to today, An Interesting, Frustrating and Disappointing Conference on Evangelism. And listeners might want to read some of the detail at theweflea.com. The Weflea, Weflea.com. Theweflea.com. David Robertson, who's known as the Weflea, he writes for newspapers, magazines, author of a number of books, including The Dawkins Letters and Engaging with Atheists. He is the minister at Scots Kirk Presbyterian Church in Newcastle, in New South Wales. His insightful blog is called The Weflea. You get theweflea.com. His latest book is called Seek. Great getting your insights once again, David Robertson.
It's a privilege being with you. And as I say, what you just said there is true. We can't generalize about the whole of Australia, but may the Lord unite his people and may we all have a passion and a desire to bring the good news to our fellow Australians.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.